Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Hey, I want to just tell you how proud we are. Great after party. I got the word Sunday afternoon as well that last weekend we began a brand new series with Pastor Jacob called Compassion. I don't know if y'all can put that on the board. And we shared our love and compassion kind of around the world by adopting children from last week. We've set a goal, all four campuses. We set kind of an internal goal of what we hope to sponsor. We set it for 700, that we could sponsor 700 kids. And so across all four campuses, we didn't do 100, we didn't do 200, we didn't do 300, we didn't do 4, we didn't do 5, we didn't do 6, we didn't do 700, we didn't do 800. We did over 900 children sponsored. Come on, give yourselves a hand. Awesome. So we're going to be talking about compassion and love for people and during this series. And today I wanted to set that up and just something that's been heavy on my heart. And I want to share something with you that can be a game changer for you today. Not every Sunday. I know it's kind of like Sunday services is like kind of a meal. Like my job is to serve a meal for you. Hopefully it's not the only meal you get all week. Hopefully you're opening up the bread of life yourself and feeding yourself all week long. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you got to be feeding yourself. But on Sundays, you come to get a meal. And I know sometimes it's hamburger steak. I could use a little encouragement right there. But how many know hamburger steak's good? Yeah, it's going to be good. But then there's some Sundays that it can be a game changer. And today, I hope, is a game changer for you. I've got something I need to share with you. I really need you to lean in today because this could change the course and the destiny of your life. I mean that. I believe that. And so I want to speak something to you today, and I really need you to really press in, lean in today, and I hope that this will change yours, change mine, change my family's life. And so I can't wait to share it with you. So take out a pen, pad, and I want to go ahead and jump into the message this morning. And I'm going to title it Breaking the Poverty Spirit. Breaking the Poverty Spirit. Breaking the Poverty Spirit. Satan doesn't want me to preach this message to you today. I can promise you that. He will do everything he can. You know, if you have a child in the nursery, they may put up your number here. He'll do whatever he can to keep you from listening to this message and applying it. Now, there's something that we've been saying for a long time. We've said it. We are here to tear down pride, prejudice, and poverty. And we've probably spent most of our efforts on those first two. Pride, by walking in humility, preaching about humility and the lordship of Jesus. And then we spent a lot of time talking about the walls of prejudice. How many of y'all with me? Okay, y'all talk back to me and I'll get finished a lot faster. How many of you know we've been talking a lot about tearing down the walls of prejudice? You see, in a very segregated South and in a community that's been segregated, it's very rare to have a congregation like ours where black, white, rich, poor, R, D's, and I's all come together on a Sunday morning. We've been talking a lot about prejudice. Amen? Today I want to talk about the third giant that's been ruling this land for a very long time. It's called poverty. And let me just tell you what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about how big your bank account is or is not. Because you can be very wealthy and have a big bank account and still have a poverty mentality or a poverty spirit. So you need to listen. I'm going to define it for you. You'll understand. And then I'm going to give you some symptoms to let you know what is a poverty spirit and to see if you got it. I want to confess there have been some seasons in my life where I contacted the disease or the poverty spirit or a poverty mentality. You'll have a clear understanding when we're done. So I want to talk to you today about that. And let me begin by defining what is a poverty mentality. Again, you can be wealthy and have a poverty mentality. You can be poor and have a poverty mentality. Poverty mentality is an attitude. It's a way of thinking. It's a mindset. And it's because it ends up focusing itself on what one doesn't have instead of focusing on what one does have. It is a mindset. It's what the Bible would call a stronghold. And a stronghold is established in any believer's life when they believe a lie to be true. Everybody tracking with me so far? Poverty has nothing to do with money. Don't walk out of here and say, "Pastor, you was talking about money today," because I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a mindset. I'm talking about a mentality. And so today I want to list 10 symptoms of a poverty spirit or poverty mentality. We're going to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Check yourself before you wreck yourself." Okay, now say it to the person you didn't choose. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. What does a poverty spirit look like? What are the symptoms? And I'm confessing to you, there have been seasons of my life where I've had many of these symptoms. And I want you to check, because here's what I want you to hear. Not only do individuals get poverty mentality, but a city or a community can have a poverty mentality as well. Can I tell you something else? A church can have a poverty mentality as well. And so I want to make sure that we're clear with the symptoms. Let me go through these, and you can check yourself before you wreck yourself. Number one, what does it look like? What's one of the symptoms? Symptom number one, it is a chronic, long-term lack. In other words, you get into a cycle where there's never enough, or you're always in a cycle where you're always afraid that you won't have enough. So it's either reality or it is fear that you're never going to have enough. Let me give you symptom number two. It's refusing to think and to prepare for the future. In other words, it's the old ostrich, put your head in the sand. You don't want to think about the future because you don't really want to deal with the future. You don't want to embrace the future. And so you'll end up walking through life. I call it pocket budgeting. The only budget you do is by how much money you have in your pocket. If you got enough for today, you're fine. But you don't ever want to think about the future because you're afraid of it. No retirement, not setting aside savings. Again, this has nothing to do with money. How many of you believe that saving money would be called wisdom? Just say yes, because it is. But hoarding money is not wisdom. That I'm going to hold so much back because I'm afraid of what the future would look like. I'm talking about a spirit here. Look what Proverbs 6, 10, and 11 says. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. I'm just going to take it easy. I got enough for today. Folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a... It's going to come on you like a thief, scarcity like an armed man. So number one, spirit of poverty, chronic cycle of lack of or fear of lack. Sign number two, refusing to think about future because you don't want to deal with it. Sign number three, or symptom number three, expecting that you would not get charged for work that was done for you. I'll explain. Or you're always looking out for something for free. If you're going to stand in a line, because in the line you get something free and you spend 2 hours to get something for free that had a value of $10, you might have the scarcity or the poverty mentality. How many of you know you could have went to work for those 2 hours and made $30, then you could have took the $30, bought the $10 thing, and still have $20 in your pocket? Anybody with me? It's called scarcity, poverty. Oh, I got to get something for free. I've been asked this probably 20 times. Let me talk to you. Everybody look right here. This is serious today. Listen. There have been people in the church 20 different times, probably in the last 5 years, who've asked me, could we please put a catalog together of all the business people in our church who have plumbers and construction people and remodelers and windows and people that have services. Put them in our church, because they said, because when I'm going to look for someone to do that, I would rather hire a Christian, a believer, to come and do that. And that's a good thought. Here's the problem. If you have the poverty mentality, you'll call somebody in the church, and here's my fear, and here's why we haven't done it. Because if you have the poverty mentality or the poverty spirit, you're going to call a brother in the church, and then when he gives you the bill, you're going to be mad because he charged you. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm talking today. Y'all okay in the balcony? Or you'd expect some big break and you would say, oh man, you a brother. Listen, if it's a brother, you ought to pay the man. Pay the man. Why? Because he's going to go take the pay and end up putting it back in the kingdom. There's a reason why. I know a poverty spirit doesn't just get on individuals. It can get into communities. And I would say we've already identified what's been in our community. Pride, prejudice, and a poverty spirit. I know if we don't break that in this church, how are we ever going to break it in the community? This could change your life. Just listen. Just lean in. Don't tune me out. Thank you. Put two people. Let me give you sign number four of a poverty spirit or poverty mentality. You're not a giver, not a tither. You're not generous with what you have. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Number five, a poverty spirit. If you have it, if you got any of these symptoms, you resent those who are above you or would say have more than you. You end up resenting the wealthy. You think they got lucky. They cheated. They took a shortcut. They didn't earn it. Somebody opened a door for them that they couldn't have opened for themselves. Now, here's what's funny about that. It's not really funny. It's really sad, but it is kind of funny that we've all been in this situation going, look what they got. Well, they did. They didn't deserve it. They don't earn it. They didn't. They did. They didn't. They made shortcuts. The truth is, we like to criticize, but the truth is, we'd love to trade places with them. So you end up tearing down somebody that you'd like to take their place. And so you have to be careful. It's because you can resent that. So I'm just giving you the symptoms. Let me give you symptom number six of a spirit of poverty or a poverty mentality. A habit of making poor financial decisions. You just keep finding yourself making bad decisions. We've all made some bad ones, but you haven't learned from them. You continue making some of the same ones. So in other words, instead of your financial future looking brighter, it begins to look dimmer. You're afraid of it. You don't want to deal with it. Proverbs 13, 18. Look what it says. Whoever disregards discipline or teaching comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction or teaching is going to be honored. I didn't say this in the first one. It would be going to buy, if you go, man, I don't know how to do it. Do you know there's actual books, like written books, to help you budget, set aside, get better at budgeting financially so that you could be better off? The problem is they cost $30 to go buy, and you don't want to spend the $30 to go buy it so you can get better. I'm just talking about poverty mentality. I don't want to spend that much money. I don't have that kind of money. I'm a little short today. And so you have to start thinking. I'm helping you. Number seven, a mentality where you'll start criticizing. Here's a symptom. Criticizing someone for spending money that they have. Or your friends get a new car. And they bring it by your house. And you put the good face on in front of them. Oh, that's nice. Smells so good. And then when they leave, you're jealous of what they were able to get. And you talk bad about them when they leave. Or you say stupid stuff like this. Somebody gets a new house and say, well, got that big old house. Well, if they really loved the poor, they'd sell their house and give to the poor. You Jesus juke them. That's what we call it. Look, if you really love the poor, you'd sell your house and give to the poor. It's criticizing others when they spend money that they have. It's going to get real. Y'all ready? Sign number eight. You daydream about winning the lottery. I know I'm talking to somebody now. Or you daydream about your inheritance. Or you daydream about the ship coming in. Heidi used to say this in our relationship. Baby, one day the ship's going to come in. One day the ship's going to come in. Finally, I got so tired of hearing it. I said, baby, there ain't no ship. There is no ship. The ship doesn't come in. You daydream it. Look what Proverbs 28 and 19 says. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. How many of you have ever heard of those get-rich-quick schemes? And you said, that sounds too good to be true. I got a word for you. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not true. It's not true. If it sounds too good to be true, it's not true. Let me give you a sign or symptom number 9. You are fixated on money. You can't stop thinking about it. You could have little and be fixated on money. You can have a lot of money and stay fixated on money. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying today. Well, he's talking about money. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a spirit that gets on a community, can get on people. It's a spirit of poverty. And let me give you number 10. Here's a symptom. You have to have all the latest trends, gadgets, and fashions. It's about to get real. You remember those old redneck jokes? You might be a redneck if, here's one, you might have the poverty spirit if your purse costs more than your car payment. I'm out. Y'all want another one? Can y'all handle this? Balcony, can you handle this? If your car note is higher than your house note. He has made me mad. He has made me mad. I'm just giving you the symptoms. How many of you would go ahead and say, Pastor, I got a couple of those symptoms. I have. I've fallen in the trap. Go ahead. You can slip your hand up. I ain't looking. Go ahead. Slip your hand up. Go ahead. I've fallen in the trap. I've felt the ridge, and I get fixated. I keep finding myself. Listen, yeah, I know there's something about this poverty spirit, and there are some legitimate things that all of us walk through. There are some seasons that you're going to walk through where nothing that you did caused you to get in the financial situation you're in. I'm talking about chronic cycle after cycle. And when you look back at your parents, they walked in the same cycle over and over again. You're walking now through the same cycle. And if you're not careful, you're going to pass that same spirit down to your children, and they are going to walk through the same cycle. Are y'all tracking with me? It's not about money. You can be wealthy and have the same spirit. And so I want you to listen to me today. There's something about that. It loves you. You can become the victim. I'm the victim. It was everybody else's fault. That's the reason why I got here. And why do people like to be the victim? Because they get attention in being the victim. But as Joyce Meyer said, and I'm quoting her, you can be pitiful or you can be powerful, but you can't be both. I want to talk to you about breaking the spirit of poverty. Now, here's my story and Heidi's story. And I want you to see how this spirit can get upon you because it came on me. We started a church in inner city Houston back in 1995. Our church started under a bridge. Interstate 59 highway crossed over Main Street in downtown Houston, and the highway was about as wide as the ceiling is in this very room. So it started on Friday nights as a ministry to the homeless. We'd bring music out, we'd cook a meal, and then we would go and get all the homeless people we could get, bring them to church, and we would have a service, and then they would eat afterwards. We learned that if they ate before, they would leave. So we made them sit in church first, under the bridge. And on Sunday mornings, that's where our church began. Our first nursery, was in the back of a F-150 Ford pickup truck. My two daughters were the two kids in the nursery. And we would go out, we'd set up the trailer, generator, crank it up, get the band rolling, and then we would send some of our guys out, two by two, just like the Bible says, and we would give them donuts and boxes of donuts and say, go out, canvas the area, and get anybody you can. So they would go wake up the guys on the street, hey, you want some donuts? And of course, they'd go, yeah, I want some donuts. Say, okay, come on. And where are we going? We're going to church. Come on. You come to church, you get some donuts. And that's how we started the church. And I was full of faith. It's like, one day we're going to have our own building. One day we're going, one day we did. God gave us supernaturally a 20,000 square foot warehouse in the middle of the Fourth Ward. The Fourth Ward was a community that had the poverty mentality. Now, I'm just telling you, I want you to think of the worst streets in St. Landry Parish. The ones where you lock your doors, you roll up your windows, they ain't going down there at night. Just times two, whatever that street was, and we just put you in the Fourth Ward. Hookers, prostitution, drug addiction, drugs, gangbangers, dope dealers, you name it, all there, prevalent. And so God put us right in the middle of this neighborhood. I'm speaking, we're going to tear down these walls. I'm preaching faith. I'm preaching. You guys. And then something started happening. We would do this. We would host youth groups in from all over the country to do outreaches all summer long, like a missions trip, an inner city missions trip. And we would do this. And because of what our church was doing, I started getting invitations to go to other places to preach back at their churches. It was a way that we could raise dollars. We had a very poor, most of our congregation was young people, like young adults, and most of them were very poor people. They didn't have resources. And so we were always struggling financially. And so poverty city. And now I'm going to preach at all these churches that are sending their kids down. I would go. Beautiful sanctuaries, beautiful grounds, building projects going all over. And then I can almost remember when it started happening. I would walk into and they would show me this new building they're building, $2 million for our youth group. And I would think, well, they're giving $2 million for that, and we can't even make it each week. If they really love God, they'd be helping. Are y'all seeing what's beginning to happen? And I would preach. I would share our problems. I'd say, here's our needs we have. And I'd walk out, and they'd give me a little check and say, here you go. Thank you for coming, Pastor. I'm thinking, oh, we got a 50,000 need. They're probably just met it. And I'd open up the check, and it'd be a couple thousand dollars. Just say, thank you for coming. And then I started getting bitter. I started resenting the rich church because I was the poor church. And the same mentality on our community started getting on me. I thought I was going to impact the community. And now the community was beginning to impact. Are y'all hearing me today? Can y'all hear me? the Spirit, this thing. We'd go to these large churches. We needed a bus. We needed buses downtown to go pick up kids. And then I would go to this church, and they'd have a whole line of buses. And I'd say, oh, man, we're praying for a bus, hoping they would give me one for free. I'm standing in the line for 2 hours waiting for the free bus. All of a sudden, that same Spirit began to get on me. I began to become critical of what they were spending their money on. In fact, I began to be fixated with money and began to resent what God had done for them and resent it. And then let me tell you what else happened. Then I began to resent what God had done for me. I'd walk in that old 20,000 square foot warehouse that God gave us for free. And I'd say, look at this old building. I can remember the day I was grateful for it. Now I'm walking through it, seeing it through the poverty spirit. And now I'm resenting the very gift that God gave us. Are you hearing me? Now here's what So I'm not talking from someone who doesn't know. I'm talking from someone who had it, who lived under it, who was looking through those very eyes. Now, I don't want to leave you there if you've been looking through those same eyes. I want to help you break it just how I had to learn how to break it, and I want to help you today. Are y'all ready? Let me give you two thoughts. Vic is going to help me, but it's going to take me a while to give you these two, all right? Let me give you number one. Here's what God spoke to me when I was living under that spirit. I'll just tell you what he said. Number one, he told me, he said, you are always looking at what you don't have instead of being grateful for what you do have. Everybody say gratitude. Number one, if you're going to break this spirit, you've got to become grateful for what you do have. Is this our Savior's church? I'm just wondering. Is this the Opelousas campus? So, You know what it's like. I mean, if you got children, you know what it's like. When your kids are little, you have to teach them to be grateful. And they go, Mama, I'm a cookie. And you go, yeah, baby, here's a cookie. And you give it to them, and they take it, and you say what? What do you say? And, mine. No, baby, that ain't what you say. You say, thank you. Say, thank you. Thank you. Good. Always say thank you. How many of you know that's a long process to teach a child how to be grateful? I can remember as our kids were growing up, we were. You say thank you. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. If they didn't say thank you, we'd give them something. What do you say, Hannah? Mine. We go, no, it ain't. Thank you. It was amazing how quick they learned to say thank you. How many of you know there is nothing worse or more ugly than an ungrateful child? They don't learn to be grateful. You have to train them to be grateful. Say thank you. Great thank you. Thank you, because there is nothing ugly. I've seen some of these ungrateful kids. You ever walk through Walmart? Just walk through Walmart. Mama, mine. And mama going, okay, no. I just say, I'm going to just spank that kid myself. I'm just ungrateful. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever seen an ungrateful? You go, that is the ugliest kid. That is an ungrateful child. Nothing. It is ungrateful. Nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than an ungrateful child. Did you wake up this morning, child of God? Then you ought to walk into the house and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I woke. No, I'm just asking, what do you say? What do you say? Yes, what do you say? Do you have a job? What do you say? If you got a roof over your head, what do you say? If you got food, some of us are deciding what we're going to eat. It's not like we have a meal. No, we got choices to make when we leave here today. What do you say? You say thank you. If you got friends, what do you say? If you got a wife,
Thank you.
Listen to me. If you're not grateful for it, then don't be surprised when God comes and says, learn to be grateful. Learn to be thankful. You don't break the spirit unless you're grateful for it. Let me tell you something about gratitude. Gratitude is not just a posture of your heart. Gratitude is not really gratitude unless it comes out of your mouth. This is what the Bible says. It says, Jesus said this, hey, disciples come to Jesus. They go, Jesus, teach us to pray. I mean, you pray and things happen. Teach us to pray. And Jesus says, okay, when you pray, let me give you a sample. Go to the Lord and say something like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What? Hallowed, that's a word we don't use today. Hallowed, it's got a big meaning. It doesn't just mean honor. It also means gratitude. It means that you, when you start by thanking him for all that he's done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my job. Thank you. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, it says this. Jesus, or the Spirit of God, this is before Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or God's Spirit, only lived in one place. It was the temple of God. They called it the Holy of Holies. But if you wanted to go to the temple to be near the presence of God, you had to first go through the gates, and then you had to enter the court before you ever got into the temple of God. And this is what the scripture says. Enter his gates on the outside with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. If you're going to break the spirit of poverty, it has to begin with gratitude towards all that God has already done for you. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? Come on, baby. Thank you, Jesus. Can't keep looking at what you don't have. You got to start by being grateful for what you do have. You remember that old movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Some of you remember, if you remember, I don't have time to tell the whole thing, but finally the guy becomes grateful. He hated his town. He wanted to get out, and a lot of circumstances happened. He's running through, hello, Bedford Falls. Hello, Savings and Loan. And he's just being thankful. Hey, how y'all doing? He's happy now. He sees it differently. I mean, that's how we ought to be as Christians. Thank you, Appaloosas. You old boarded up buildings downtown, we love you. Thank you. People driving like idiots, thank you. Appaloosas High School is 4-1 in football, thank you. Grateful, just grateful. I think we ought to be the most grateful people on the planet. Grateful. Thank you, Appaloosa High School. Thank you. We get to set up every Sunday. Thank you. We got a place. Thank you. Gratitude. Instead of looking at what we don't have, let's look at what we do have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Number two, you got to become grateful. And then number two, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a spirit, grateful. And let me give you the second thought, is you got to become generous. Let me read this Old Testament story to you real quick. Now Elijah, 1 Kings 17, 1 through 16. Now Elijah, who was from Tisb in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord of God of Israel lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Elijah, the prophet of God, goes to king of Israel, a wicked king, and tells him, because of you, king, all of Israel is going to go into a famine. It won't even rain again until I give the word. And then the Lord God said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by the brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I've commanded them to bring you food. So God tells Elijah, go by the brook, you can drink there, and while this famine's going on, I'll send ravens, the birds, to drop food off for you. How many of you know, no matter what's going on, if you're a believer in God, God can always take care of you. Even in famine, you can still eat. So Elijah did as the Lord told him and camped beside the brook east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook did what? It dried up. Usually, sometimes that happens in all of our lives. Something dries up. Maybe you got laid off. That happens. Maybe that just means there's a new season coming for you with a new opportunity for you. Instead of looking at it as, oh, poor me. No. Well, God, thank you for what I did have. And now I'm going to look for the next thing to see what you have for me. The brook dried up. And there was rainfall in the land. There was no rainfall in the land anywhere. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went up to Zarephath. He arrived at the gates of the village. He saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, pay attention, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. And I've only a handful of flour left in a jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Let me read it how she probably really said it. I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have anything. I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. You know, it's been a dry season for a long time. I've been in this cycle forever, and I only got a little bit left, a little jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug, and I'm just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I are going to die. You talk about a poverty spirit. It's on her. Well, watch this. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you have said. But I want you to make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. Watch what happens. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. And there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Okay. God spoke. You're always looking at what you don't have instead of being grateful for what you did have. I gotta be grateful. Then he shows me this story and says, you are the widow. I was acting like the widow. I ain't got enough. Remember my prayers or my thoughts, our story? We ain't got enough money to do outreaches. We ain't got enough buses to get these kids for church. We can't send these kids to camp. We don't have the resources or the funds. But God said, I want you to take the little you have, and I want you to give it to me first. Let me just tell you what I did. I began to get grateful. Thank you, Lord, for this old building you gave me. Thank you. I know the plumbing don't work half the time. Thank you for it, though. And Lord, I'm going to give to you first. So I went into our bookkeeper and I said, here's what we're going to do. Every time we receive an offering on a Sunday, whatever comes in, I want you to take 10% off the top, just off the top, and I want you to put it aside. Sometimes that had been $100 a week. Sometimes that might have been $1,000 a week. And that she'd let it build up. And when it get to about $2,000 or $3,000, I would say, how much is in that seed account? That's what I called it, the seed account. Because it wasn't enough to meet our needs. So I just said, if it ain't enough to meet our need, we're going to call it seed. And we're going to plant it. And let me tell you what I began to do with that money. I took those resources and I said, here's what we're going to do. All those big churches that are out there that I've been preaching at, some of them I really admire. That's good ground. I'm going to start taking this seed and planting it in them. I'm going to help them with their projects because I'm going to trust God to meet every one of our needs for our project. That's what I did. I started sending to them. They would call me. Pastor, you? Yeah. Hey, Pastor. Hey, I just got a check from y'all for like $3,000 for our building program. Don't you need that money? I said, well, we need a lot more than that. So that wasn't enough. So we so admire what you're doing. And one day we hope to be like you. So I've just said, we're going to start planting seeds in every one of these ministries and churches that we respect and we admire. And they were like, I'm blown away. This is unbelievable. Thank you. Thank you. We just kept doing that. Month after month, about every month. Send it over there. Churches like Lakewood, you ever heard of it? We helped build it. Oh, it was just a little piece. But we were able to plant in all of those churches because we so admired what God was doing in them and through them. And then something crazy happened. My phone would ring. Hey, Pastor, you. I was just thinking about you today. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? That's me. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Well, I was just thinking, we got a whole row of buses over here, and I got one or two for you. Could you use them? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we'd love to have them. Well, we're gonna send them down to you. And then another call. Hey, Pastor, you. I was just thinking, I got a van over here. We're not using. I was just thinking about you. Do you think you could use this van? Absolutely. We'd love to have it. Thank you. Thank you. Because I'm also grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're so blessed. Thank you. We'll receive it. We'll fill that thing up with kids. And that just goes on and on. Hey, we got this sound system. Y'all need a sound system? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Send the seed. Send the seed. Send the seed. Send the seed. Keep sending the seed. Keep sending the seed. Don't stop sending the seed because I don't want that same spirit on me. I want to be a blessing. I don't want to be on the receiving end. I want to be on the blessing end. I want to be the giver. I don't want to be the receiver. And if you just keep blessing, then people go, people trying to stuff blessings down you. You just keep, and they go, wow, this is really working. And then one day, one of the premier student ministries in the world called. They called Heidi. Say, hey, hello, you know, that was my impersonation. We saw what y'all were doing in the inner city, and we thought we would love for your kids in the inner city to come to our camp. I'm talking camp, horseback riding, go-karts, water slides, big old Olympic-sized pool, all kinds of fun things. This is the inner city kids. These kids ain't even been out of the inner city, ever. Much less get on a horse. So they're telling Heidi, all, we'd love for y'all to come. And she's like, well, how much would that cost? Oh, no, it's not. This is our blessing to you for all that y'all are doing. In fact, well, how can we got to get the kids there? How are we going to get? Oh, don't worry about that either. We're going to send all of our buses down to get your kids so we can take your kids all the way to the greatest camp experience they could ever experience in America. We're going to send them and we're taking care of everything. All the workers, y'all just come. Y'all just come and enjoy the children. Are y'all tracking with me? I had that spirit on me. I thought I was going to impact the community, but the community began to impact me. I started having a poverty spirit. And the only way I know to break it is to be grateful for what you got and quit looking at what you don't and be grateful for it. And then the second thing is whatever you do have, to be very, very generous with it. Give it away. Okay. Now, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Here's what's interesting. God didn't send Elijah to the widow so he could eat. God sent Elijah to the widow so she could eat. It was for her. It wasn't for Elijah. It was for her. God could have kept the ravens coming, but he said, I don't want to do that anymore. I see a widow over there that needs to eat, and I'm going to send you to eat. And then he comes and says, here's what the Lord wants. Give it to me first, and if you'll give it to me first, then your cup and your jar are never going to run dry as long as you're giving to God. As long as you're being generous, if you're being generous, I'll always resupply what you need if you'll just be generous. How many of you believe what I'm saying to you is real? Do you believe it? Then I'm going to ask you to do something. Here's what I've learned. Gratitude is not really gratitude unless you say it. You have to say it to somebody. If your wife cooks this afternoon, men, don't just sit back there and go, well, she's the wife. She's supposed to do that. You're a jerk. No, what do you say? Thank you, baby. That was an amazing meal. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You're awesome. He goes out to work each week. When he comes home, Heidi was so good at this, teaching our kids this. Come home and they got new stuff or new clothes. She'd make all the kids come in. Daddy, look what I got. I got this and this is what I got. And it's so cute. It's so cute. You know, get a new shirt or something. Isn't it so cute, Daddy? And I go, oh, that's so cute. And I go, thank you, Daddy. Thank you. You work so hard. You work so hard. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just teach you to be grateful. Grateful is only gratitude when it's expressed. When we come into the church first thing in the morning, what's the first thing we do? Come on, let's worship. Let's say thank you to the Lord. I've seen you move mountains, God. Thank you. And you'll do it again. Thank you. Thank you. And then it's to be generous. Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to do anything other than this week but to pray. Because you can say you're generous, but the only way you beat the spirit is to act on it. To be generous, to give something away. This is not about money. I'm not talking about the church. I want you to pray this way. Lord, I want you to show me something I need to give away. It may be money. It may be something you have in your house. We all got something. Something of value that's valuable to us. And I want you to give it away. Who do I give it to? I want you to pray, Lord, what should I give away and who should I give it to? I'm not asking for anything for the church. I just want you to break that poverty mentality over your own life. So one day we'll be telling your testimony, not my testimony, your testimony of how God's worked in your life to break the poverty spirit, the cycle over and over again. How are we going to pray? Lord, what should I give away? And who should I give it to? Don't do anything this week. I'll give you further instructions next week. How many of you promise you'll pray? Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Rest of you. Okay, the rest of you are lying. Okay. Don't lie in church. I want you to pray. Lord, what should I give? And who should I give it to? Again, was the widow poor? She only had one meal left. But she gave it away. And God began to replenish. Break that spirit. That's the only way I know to do it. Do you receive this word today, church? Let me hear you. You receive this word today? Give it away. Give it away. That's why I'm so proud of you. Because we've been a generous church. I learned those lessons from the inner city. Pastor Jacob taught me as well when we got here. We're going to bless. We're going to be a blessing. And that is the Abraham promise. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And we're going to practice that during this compassion series. Every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today. I heard a wise man once say, the poorest among us with Jesus is rich, and the richest among us without Jesus is poor. You can make a decision today that would make you the richest man in the room by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible calls it being born again. I didn't ask you if you're christened or baptized. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Jesus said you can't enter the kingdom or see the kingdom unless you've been born again. And so today, I want to ask you that question. Have you been born again? You say, Pastor, you, how do you become born again? Well, it's really simple. It's A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody here in this room, myself included, have missed the mark. But B, we can believe that Christ alone came to die on a cross to be our sin bearer, to pay for our sin, our shame, and our guilt. And then C, just simply confess him as your Lord. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an invitation today that you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. You can become rich today. If you died today, would you spend eternity with him? If you don't know the answer to that question, you can know. Just surrender your life to him. Say, Pastor, you, that's me today. I want to pray with you and for you. All you have to do is simply let me know. Say, Pastor, you, include me in this prayer. With every head bowed and eye closed, would you just lift your hand up high right now? Hold it up high. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hold them up high for a second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I see your hand. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I'm looking at the balcony. 21, 21, 21, 22, 23, and 24 hands today. Congregation, I want to pray with each and every one of these today. Let's add our faith with theirs. Would you say this with me? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me, so I would not have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God all the praise for that.